A reading from the Book of Wisdom. The wicked said among themselves, thinking not aright, "Let us beset the just one, because he is obnoxious to us. He sets himself against our doings, reproaches us for transgressions of the law, and charges us with violations of our training. He professes to have knowledge of God and styles himself a child of the Lord. To us he is the censor of our thoughts. Merely to see him is a hardship for us, because his life is not like that of others, and different are his ways. He judges us debased. He holds aloof from our paths as from things impure. He calls blessed the destiny of the just and boasts that God is his father. Let us see whether his words be true. Let us find out what will happen to him. For if the just one be the Son of God, he will defend him and deliver him from the hand of his foes. With revilement and torture, let us put him to the test, that we may have proof of his gentleness and try his patience. Let us condemn him to a shameful death. For according to his own words, God will take care of him." These were their thoughts, but they erred, for their wickedness blinded them, and they knew not the hidden counsels of God, neither did they count on a recompense of holiness, nor discern the innocent soul's reward. The word of the Lord. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. The Lord confronts the evildoers to destroy remembrance of them from the earth. When the just cry out, the Lord hears them, and from all their distress, he rescues them. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and those who are crushed in spirit he saves. Many are the troubles of the just man, but out of them all the Lord delivers him. He watches over all his bones. Not one of them shall be broken. The Lord redeems the lives of his servants. No one incurs guilt who takes refuge in him.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem. Jesus moved about within Galilee. He did not wish to travel in Judea because the Jews were trying to kill him. But the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles was near. But when his brothers had gone up to the feast, he himself also went up, not openly, but as it were, in secret. Some of the inhabitants of Jerusalem said, "Is he not the one they are trying to kill? And look, he is speaking openly, and they say nothing to him. Could the authorities have realized that he is the Christ? But we know where he is from. When the Christ comes, no one will know where he is from. So Jesus cried out in the temple area as he was teaching and said, "You know me and also know where I am from. Yet I did not come on my own, but the one who sent me, whom you do not know, is true. I know him because I am from him, and he sent me." So they tried to arrest him, but no one laid a hand upon him because his hour had not yet come. Verbum Domini.
We have in our reading today, our first reading from the Book of Wisdom, a prediction of our Lord's persecution, his suffering, and his death. And in the verses that are skipped in today's reading, we have the first verse of chapter 2 of the Book of Wisdom, then we skip to verse 12. But in that section that we're missing, we get a description of how the unrighteous, how they view life and see the world in general. And some characteristics of their mindset are denying the immortality of the soul and the existence of life after death. It made sense to them, therefore, that if there's nothing beyond this life, if there's nothing beyond death, then pleasure is to be pursued at all costs, without restraint. The ungodly are also noted as taking advantage of the poor and the powerless, but it doesn't end there. The ungodly are not content with just simply seeking to maximize pleasure in this life, even at the expense of taking advantage of others. They actively persecute the righteous, those seeking holy and virtuous lives. And this is where our reading picks up today. We're given a description of the persecution and the death of the righteous man, one who calls God his Father and refers to himself as the Son of God, who we know ultimately is Christ Jesus himself. And the unrighteous seek the just man's destruction. They try to prove that God will not save the righteous. They don't see that God rewards those who are righteous. And to those who are unrighteous and have a hardened heart, holiness can seem unbearable or even obnoxious, as we hear heard described in our reading today. They say, "Let us beset the just one because he is obnoxious to us. He sets himself against our doings." So the wicked, they feel judged and they feel threatened by the presence of those who are living holy and virtuous lives. It's stinging their consciences. It's not only the words or the teaching of the just, but also their very presence, which is stinging their conscience. And if we think of those enemies of the Lord in the gospel, they were not just in the presence of a holy person, they were in the presence of holiness itself, the source of all holiness. And they hardened their hearts and they sought his destruction. And our reading today clearly illustrates the thoughts of those who would seek to kill the righteous man. They said, "To us, he is the center of our thoughts. Merely to see him is a hardship for us because his life is not like that of others and different are his ways." So we see in this, they knew how they should have been living, and yet they are confronted by seeing holiness and virtue right in their presence. And they're not willing to change. They're not willing to convert. And so they either cooperate with God's grace and convert, or they harden their hearts. And we know that they hardened their hearts. So again, because they felt threatened by the life, the teaching, and the presence of the righteous man, they desire to test him by torture and condemning him to a shameful death. They not only tested the faith of the righteous man, but they also put God to the test to see if he would help the suffering servant. And this is what happened at the foot of the cross when some of the onlookers would say in St. Matthew's Gospel, "He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" So we know that they were blinded to the truth of the Lord's life by his teaching because of their sinfulness. And we heard in the reading today as well regarding the wicked that these were their thoughts, but they erred, for their wickedness blinded them, and they knew not the counsels of God. So we know that persistence in sin has a damaging effect on our intellect. The mind gradually darkens to a point of intellectual blindness, and the heart grows cold toward the love of God, and it hardens, especially in the love of God and neighbor. So there are a couple of things that we want to avoid based on the example of the unrighteous, the ungodly in our reading today. One is that if we see others living a holy and virtuous life, we should not see that as a threat, as the unrighteous do. Right? If we do feel threatened, we are the ones in need of conversion. Virtue lived out by our neighbor is not a threat to us, but rather, when we see virtue in our neighbor, that should inspire us to grow in virtue, for us to grow in holiness. God gave them that grace, and God is the author of all that's good. It should inspire us to gratitude. And joy should be the proper response when seeing another person practice virtue. This builds up and strengthens the church. It's not a threat. And secondly, we want to avoid the error of the unjust that we see in the Book of Wisdom, and that they did not think of eternity. They only thought of this life. They lived for this life alone. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. That's their mindset. Our reading today says that the wicked knew not the hidden counsels of God, neither did they count on a recompense of holiness, nor discern the innocent soul's reward. So they didn't think of eternity, and they didn't think of judgment after death. But we know that the wage of persisting in grave sin and rebellion towards God in this life leads to spiritual death and eternal punishment, while the wage of holiness of life and friendship with God leads to eternal happiness, blessedness, and peace. And in our gospel today, our Lord was very well aware of the growing opposition toward him. And he chose not to go with his disciples to the Feast of the Holy of the Tabernacles, but rather to go later in secret, and simply because his hour had not yet come. Those who hardened their hearts against him, they hated him because he spoke the truth. He is the truth. And today's passage skips the description of the disciples going up to the Feast of the Tabernacles. Remember, they preceded him. And when they got there, others were speaking about him. They heard opinions about the Lord, where some would say, he's a good man, and others said, no, he's leading the people astray. So we can't be indifferent when it comes to our response to the Lord. We either accept him or we reject him. St. Augustine commented that as we live out our faith, others will be divided about us as well. He observed, of anyone in whom any grace shines, some say that he is good, others that he is not, that he's deceiving the people. If this is said of God, it should console every Christian of whom the same is said. And so we certainly see this in the lives of the saints who sought to cooperate with God. They sought to generously live the gospel, to generously give themselves to prayer and to works of charity. And yet they were striving to please God, to love God and neighbor, and yet many people hated them. They had enemies. The enemies of the saints, they caused much suffering in their lives, but they persevered to the end. We're consoled, however, that our Lord experienced the same thing. Remember, he said, if they know that if they hate you, they hated me first. But if there is any suffering endured for our being faithful to Christ and the Holy Gospel, we know that the Lord is our strength and that he can bring good, and he will bring good even out of the worst suffering that we might be permitted to endure. We also take encouragement from the responsorial psalm today that when the just cries out, God hears them, and from all their distress, he rescues them, and he rewards them with everlasting life. So we pray that God gives us the strength today to persevere in his grace and to be faithful to him until our last breath.